The hope, done sensibly, is that the incentives for investment and economic growth will bring in enough growth and therefore tax revenues. But if it's guaranteed to stay level as long as you paid it for the entire 20 or 30 years, so you felt very secure and you figured...
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
And here we are. Welcome to Wednesday afternoon on the Wintrust Business Lunch. We got White Sox baseball coming up this afternoon. They start, I think, first pitch is 1:10. So Andy Mazur will be here with pregame about 12:35. Before that, we're going to talk about economic pregames, I guess. Terry Savage is in the studio. Terry Savage, who would have thought that on the day we celebrate the longest bull market in U.S. history that we would... Someone bring the cake in here. Who's got the cake and the candles for Terry Savage's birthday? Happy birthday.
Thank you. I think the longest bull market ever happening on my birthday is a great present. I'm delighted to be part of it.
Well, I'm glad you're here.
Well, 10 years ago, I sat there when the world was crashing saying, please don't sell, please don't sell, don't sell into a falling market. This has been a nice reward.
Did I see that the Dow is up 300% since 08 or 09?
Yeah. 300%. Low of 67.
Not Dow, maybe S&P.
Dow made its bottom. I used to know this exactly, but just above 6,700. It was a nearly 50% decline from its peak in that spring of that horrible spring of March of 2009. And lo and behold, here we are. So it always gives me, for many years I would say things like, look, if you'd sold out in 1929 and never got back in the stock market, look what you would have missed.
Right, right.
If you sold out, when we entered World War II and it was a crisis, look what you would have missed. How about in the 70s when we had the big, 1969, the Dow was just peaked over 1,000. It got over 1,000 again in 1972. And in 73, just because I was there and I remember, it fell to a low of 570.01, the Dow. So from over 1,000 down to 570. And I thought, being very young then, that was the end of the world. And it took a while to get back. But we had that great bull market that started in 82 and went on up to the dot-com.
Okay, let me ask you something, though. So you mentioned 73 and with the drop. Was that the energy crisis or was it?
No, part of it was inflation, part of it was energy, and part of it was the concerns about a recession. I remember Pierre Rinfrey was the famed economist. Boy, am I dating myself. He said, I see no recession on the horizon. We did have quite a recession. Interest rates went up and the stock market went down dramatically. And by the way, the Dow stayed below 800 until August of 1982. So we did have a 10-year flat period there where everybody gave up on stocks. And meanwhile, if you had been putting money in your 401k all those 10 years, you bought a lot of cheap mutual fund shares when it took off. Boy, it took off.
I asked about 73 because of the Trump situation. And, the markets
Nixon
really...
Nixon was part of it.
So, and the markets really aren't reacting to the Donald Trump news so much. And Larry Kudlow, his economic advisor, said today, quoting James Carville or paraphrasing, it's all about the economy. This stuff in the White House doesn't really matter so much.
And I think there's a point to that. I mean, if we just try to erase the politics and the constitutional crisis that appears to be hanging over us, the fact of the matter is that so far we're getting great economic news, a lot of it the result of tax cuts or regulatory cuts. I know that scares me, too, about the global emissions and a lot of other things. But from a bottom line point of view, the economy is better. The markets reflect that. And look at the news we've had out today.
Target announced its sales and is through the roof. And the CEO says he's never seen anything like this when it comes to consumer spending.
Yeah, Target is the heart of middle class America. And I can include myself in there, too.
Where I live, we call it Target.
Of course, because you're suburban and so forth. But the fact is, it really hits the real economy. Walmart is a slightly different category. And remember, when the economy really turned sour in 2008, 2009, and 10, Walmart shares took off because everybody traded down. But Target is the heart of middle class America, people with jobs. And did you see the other news that just came out? You know who else reported record sales jump and the stock's up 13%? Is Lazy Boy.
No kidding.
So first, everybody goes out shopping at Target and buys stuff, a lot of it for their home or clothes. And then they go home and sit down in front of their giant screen TV and their Lazy Boy.
They buy that Rachel Ray cookware, they eat too much pasta, and then they need a Lazy Boy.
You know, I have to admit this.
And we buy.
I want to tell you something. This morning, you have to laugh at this. I haven't bought new pots and pans in 25 years. I mean, I have some that are dented, so the lids don't fit.
Well, what dented them? What did you do to dent them?
I banged. Never mind.
Okay.
I don't know who did that last little bit. But I went out and bought new pots and pans. I figured this is for my birthday party present for myself. I bought a whole set of some new beautiful anodyne, whatever they are. Bed Bath & Beyond, got signed up for the coupons for everything off. And so I think I'm part of that sense of, you know, I owe myself a treat, and I think America is saying that. Now, just please don't go into debt to do it, though.
Well, that's the question, right? Because then it's not going to last forever. There will be a downtime. David Stockman says it's coming soon, and when it comes to the stock market anyway. And then we're going to be wishing we hadn't spent the money that we've spent, right? Or is it okay to spend and relax a little bit?
You know, I'm in a very good mood today. I just bought pots and pans, and I don't cook all that much anymore, but it was a little embarrassing when I do to put those on my family's stovetop. So I think it's okay to spend, and the funniest thing is we haven't seen so much credit card debt. Credit card debt is back. I did a comment on this a few weeks ago. At the all-time highs we saw in 2008, but of course the economy's bigger and more people are working. Gosh, you know, if you want a job now, you could probably get one.
Right.
Or a second job to pay off your credit card debt. And I think America feels entitled.
So,
but student loan debt, that's another thing.
So you're saying go out, celebrate Terry's birthday, and buy some stuff. Don't feel so bad about it.
I have a few 20% off coupons left over at Bed Bath & Beyond.
They expire. You know, watch out for those. They expire.
Well, I signed up for a new thing they have where you pay and then you get 20% off on everything you buy, but I may never buy anything.
So have you done the never-ending pasta bowl at Olive Garden ever?
No.
Know what I'm talking about?
No, but I do know. I like
Olive
Garden.
They have a promotion where they sell, I think, 1,000 year-long of all the pasta.
No, never ending. But I can't remember the last time I had pasta.
Well, tomorrow it goes on sale, and it sells out almost quickly. I think there's one for 4 months, and then $300 for a year. You can buy it, and then go all you can eat.
They make money on me. They make money on me at buffets, too.
Breadsticks? You like the breadsticks?
No.
All right,
not into that.
That's Terry Savage. Don't buy her breadsticks.
But the salad's
for her
great
birthday.
There.
We'll take a break and come back. And Terry's going to do her best Aretha Franklin impersonation, which we've been looking forward to all of it.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
That's one of the good ones, but not the best one. The best one's still coming up.
Okay.
It is now 12:22. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN. Terry Savage is in the studio. And, you know, Terry's on with us on most Wednesdays. We talk about what's going on in the market, personal finance. And she has a website, terrysavage.com, where you can often get links to the things we've been talking about, or just follow it every day anyway for the information that's there. And the sign of someone who is a good journalist or a good reporter is someone who's sort of got their finger on the pulse, and sometimes it's serendipity, sometimes it's just intuition. But you put a column up, was it yesterday or this morning, about
this column
wills
last Thursday. It'll be in the Tribune on Monday and next week, and because it's a lag, and I wrote about estate planning. I thought, you know, I always write about this at the end of the year, the holidays, nobody wants to think about it, but really, how horrible is it if you don't have an estate plan? And look at the headlines today.
Aretha Franklin died without a will.
Unbelievable. Prince,
too. And Prince, and there are others, too. Kurt Cobain, you know, he was younger, but but Aretha Franklin knew she was dying.
She was in ill health for a long time. Look, I think a lot of this is people not wanting to face reality. But here's the consequence of Aretha Franklin's dying without a will. The first is the division of her assets and who's managing the will, the estate. And four children and a niece have stepped up to the courts to please ask them to control it. So there you've got a fight among the people you presumably didn't want fighting. Second of all, in her case, now not for most of our listeners, I mean, 99.9% of our listeners will not have an estate tax problem at the federal level. You may, by the way, in Illinois, but the federal estate tax minimum is now $10 or $11 million that you can exclude.
Right, that's the right. So-called death tax.
Death tax. Illinois has its own, which steps in a lot earlier. That's another story. But everything above that level when the federal estate tax kicks in is at the highest possible rates, about 50%. So it's entirely possible that $35, $40 million of Aretha Franklin's estate will go to her least favorite relative, her Uncle Sam. tax collector.
Okay, so we should have a will. We should have... and
no, you shouldn't have a will. You should have something better.
Okay, but first of all, a lot of us have wills that we did online or we did through someone online.
No, look...
well, yes, we do.
But please, listen to me for just this one moment. You know I'm a big do-it-yourself person. Go get your mutual fund and so forth.
That's a good point.
If you make a will yourself with those online forms, by the time they discover a mistake, it's when you're gone and you can't fix it. This is something worth spending a little bit of money. Now, I want to differentiate. First of all, don't go away from me and turn this channel off now because I'm talking about wills and trusts. I'm very superstitious. I think if you don't have an estate plan, you're courting disaster. So stick with me and read the column at terrysavage.com.
Tell me about a revocable trust and why
a will just makes a distribution of your assets. You can't just say, I always told everybody that my mother's diamond ring goes to Susie. It officially distributes your assets after you're gone. It names an executor, and it may have to deal with custody issues of your children. But when you're gone, you're gone. And you're not, it doesn't help you when you're alive. A revocable living trust is like a will, except that you put all your important assets, your house, maybe your investment accounts, not your IRA, into the your savings accounts, your CDs, in the name, mine's in the name of the Terry L. Savage Revocable Living Trust. Now, all the interests are... dividends are reported on my personal tax return. And if I buy or sell stocks or change a house or something, there's no tax consequence. But you name a successor trustee. And at some point, if you can't act or when you die, that successor trustee takes over follows your actions. It doesn't go through the court process.
Here was the big thing to me. I own my home jointly with my wife.
Yeah,
Become incapacitated,
yeah, she can't
She would need my signature.
Exactly.
If I can't get it,
go to court.
So that's a real good reason to get a
joint name is not a good idea because a revocable living trust lets you, if you're you and your spouse are co-trustees, she can do the work of selling the house. That you also need a health care power of attorney. You need to check the beneficiaries on your IRA and life insurance. Those aren't part of your will or a trust, but it's really important for you to do an update on your estate planning, even if you don't think you have a lot.
Read it at terrysavage.com.
Okay.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
It's
what a thing to talk about on your
birthday. I'm so happy for you. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.